Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. It's a little bit cooler today. It's not bad at all. Really not bad. I mean, the pollen is out of control, but otherwise not bad at all. Been able to take a look at Slow-Mo Joe's so-called infrastructure measure. You know, this thing gets bigger every time I hear a report about it. Remember, it started out at around $2 trillion, which at the time of the first report, it was $1.9 trillion. And then it was 2.1. I have no idea what it's up to at this point. I really don't. I know that the specifics I saw calculated that between 5 and 6% of the $2 trillion would be spent on infrastructure. Now, it's a great word because we're all in favor of reliable infrastructure, am I right? Of course we are. Nobody wants to drive over a bridge that's falling apart. We don't want to be out walking on sidewalks that are crumbling. Okay, so everybody is in favor of, quote, infrastructure. You might as well have called it the your choice of ice cream flavor and a lovely strong handshake for you, Bill, because it's equally as applicable. Mark Mix is the president of the National Right to Work Federation. He is a committee, rather, and also the National Right to Work Foundation. And this is a group which, over the years, has said, listen, people ought to be able to decide where they're working, what sort of work they're doing, and they shouldn't be forced into paying outrageous union dues. It sure seems like this infrastructure bill helps out a lot of union leaders. I'm not sure how many workers it fixes out. Mark, thank you for being here.
Jeff, good to be on with you, and I think your introduction's appropriate. And I think we're at $2.4 billion right now. I think that's the latest number, but it could change by the time this interview is over.
Oh, my gosh, I guarantee it'll change. Now, we're going to have to do like a football thing. We'll do the final over-under because, goodness gracious, Mark, this is sort of like a Christmas tree. They just keep hanging ornaments on it.
Yeah, Jeff, and I'll take the over, okay? I promise, I'll take the over. Yeah, I'll take the over. No, you're right. You know, and one of the things that happens, to your point, I think there's been roughly 5% of whatever the number was at the time that has been designated or identified as actually kind of infrastructure as we recognize it, roads, bridges, railroads, you know, those types of things that we think about when, how commerce moves, how we move, how, you know, the transportation system supports the economy. But the rest of it is, you know, kind of social engineering. And one big part of that, according to Union Joe, is that he needs to make sure that basically only 6% of the American workforce participate in this so-called infrastructure bill, because that's, he's using it as a way to promote, in his words, promote unionism, promote unionism, promote unionism. I say it three times because he said it three times. And what we're seeing in the instructions, Jeff, is, you know, they've got to build in this so-called PRO Act bill that is unfortunately sponsored by Bobby Scott, just down the road a little bit to the east of you, that would gut every single right to work law in the country. So there's a lot more at stake here and a lot more going on than just, you know, building roads and bridges, to your point.
So in reality, if we're all going to be honest about this, and I don't know that we can get folks inside the White House to be honest about it, this is a massive payoff to the union bosses who supported Biden and his slate, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And your terms are precisely on point. It's to the union officials, the union bosses, not to rank and file workers, because if it was, he would try to use some of this extra money to put those XL pipeline people back to work. Those were all union jobs that were eliminated basically 23 minutes into Joe Biden's administration when he started signing executive orders. He put rank and file union members on the unemployment line, but yet, to your point, Jeff, he's now paying back those union officials, those union bosses that spent their members' money to elect a guy to the White House that put the rank and file workers out of work.
You know, it's outrageous. And Mark, I know your background, I think, is a fascinating one. Look, finance grad from James Madison and involvement with right-to-work organizations for many, many years. I will tell you that I have been an actual dues-paying member of a couple of different unions. And some, you know, sometimes the benefits were better than others. And I thought, okay, I'm not one of these guys who gets tagged as being, quote, anti-union. What I'm against is anyone, anywhere exploiting working people. And the ugliest part of this is that is exactly what Joe Biden is doing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's hard not to look at the headlines from Detroit, for instance, where 11 United Auto Worker officials, their top officials, the two past presidents and their general counsel and other people involved with the union are either in jail or on their way to jail for what the federal prosecutor up there said for stealing rank and file union members' money for a trip to Palm Springs and $60,000 worth of cigars. And that's what happens when you have compulsion and forced unionism. It takes away the accountability that rank and file workers have. And unfortunately, I grew up prior to my finance major at James Madison. I grew up in a union household. My stepfather was a 32-year member of the Machinist Union. He was a welder up in Western New York. My brother is a fourth grade teacher in New York State and represented, quote, and I'm using my finger quotes here, Jeff, represented by the union. And my mom washed dishes in the school cafeteria. So, you know, I grew up on, to use Pete Buttigieg's, however you say that, use his diagnosis of the infrastructure bill. I grew up on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, if you will,
right.
That the railroad tracks divided our communities. But the bottom line is, you're right. I mean, it comes down to, look, the only way that workers can hold union officials accountable is the ability for them to withhold their funds. And they withhold their funds when union officials do crazy things. In Virginia, that's worked since 1947 when we passed our right to work law. There are unions here. There are good unions here. There are good unions across the country. But there are also unions that abuse that privilege of being forced, of being able to force a worker to pay them for the right to work. And that's what this is about. And Biden wants to do away with all that. He wants to make unionism compulsory.
So tell me, you mentioned the Bobby Scott measure, which essentially would gut, if I understand it correctly, and eliminate right to work laws anywhere in America. Is that right?
That's correct. He's the primary sponsor of H.R. 842, which passed the House of Representatives back on March 9th, 225-206. And the really frustrating thing about this, Jeff, is that Bobby Scott is the chairman of the Committee of Jurisdiction, but he didn't think it was appropriate to even have hearings on the bill or any testimony on the bill. They introduced it and brought it right to the floor immediately for a vote. And the first order of business of that bill is to destroy Virginia's right to work law and the right to work laws in 26 other states across the country. Five states that have passed right to work laws in the last 9 years. I think that's why they're mad at us, Jeff, because we passed the right to work law in Indiana and Michigan, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and Kentucky, all in the last 9 years.
Wow. That's actually very, very impressive. And particularly when you take a look at some of those states and say, hey, wait a minute, there have been some big time unions operating there for decades. And so to get that right to work law in place, which again, it doesn't mean you can't join a union, just says you have the right to say whether you do or do not want to join, right? When we boil it all down to it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if it was any more complicated, I couldn't do it, Jeff, because it is that simple. It literally is. In states that have right-to-work laws, you have union movements, and you have workers who voluntarily choose to join and financially support a union. And, that's the secret to the idea of unionization. You know, people say, well, there was a place for unions, and, you know, they've outlived their usefulness. No, they haven't. There was a place for unions. There is a place for unions, and there will be a place for unions when employers take advantage of them. And the ability for workers to join together voluntarily, if they choose to do so, is exactly what that institution ought to be for. But yeah. They went to Congress back in the 1930s, and they wanted government to give them the power to force people to join them and to force people to pay them dues and fees to keep their jobs. That's not a winning business model. It is for them in the short term, but in the long term, Samuel Gompers, the founder of the AFL in America, the father of the American labor movement, said the workers of America adhere to voluntary institutions. And what he meant by that was if you try to go to Congress or go to the state legislature or go to the county commission, which is unfortunately going to happen in the Commonwealth of Virginia when we unionize our government sector here starting May 1st, you take away the inherent strength of an organization brought together through volunteerism. So they've got it exactly wrong. We're going to win eventually. We're going to pass a right to work law for the entire country. But we got to get through this battle with Bobby Scott and Chuck Schumer over in the United States Senate.
Hey, tell me very quickly here, for folks who are hearing this, what is the best way for them to learn a little bit more about the National Right to Work Committee to National Right to Work Legal Defense Fund? Point them somewhere.
Yeah, Jeff, they can come to the website nrtw.org. That's for the foundation. You can find your legal rights not only in Virginia but across the country. And NRTWC is the committee, nrtwc.org, and you can find out about legislation that's pending in Virginia or in the United States Congress. And you can find ways to contact your legislators there and urge them to support voluntary unionism, not forced unionism. And I'd actually have them call Bobby Scott, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to get it up on all our social media, get all the phone numbers and links activated ASAP. Mark, I really enjoyed this. I hope we'll have the chance to do it again soon, if you don't mind.
Thanks, Jeff. Would love to. And I remember I got the over on the infrastructure bill.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Mark Mix, I appreciate you being here. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.